Now we're going to go to a totally separate series that seems to be intriguing you and our newsroom. We call it Great Question. We've been asking for your questions, then our reporters research and report on what we learn. And in the latest story from the series, listener Ellen Chapman wondered, what happens to your yard waste after you put it in that bin and drag it to the curb? So CAP Radio's food and sustainability reporter Julia Mietrich looked into it, and she talked about it with CAP Radio's Randall White.
First of all, what did the person want to know, and why were they passionate about it?
So Ellen Chapman was our questioner. She is a Sacramento City resident and an avid gardener. That is a big part of why she wanted to know what happens to all that stuff that people put in the yard waste bin and take to the curb. Where does it go, and what becomes of it?
Does it go to the same place as the claw that comes around and picks up the leaves?
Okay. Exactly. So both the claw and the bin. She wanted to know about those. So I called her up, and here's what she told me.
I live in Lamb Park, and I garden quite a bit. And so that was my interest in this, is because as a gardener, I tend to generate a lot of green waste, and I compost at home, but not everything. So especially like when it's time to, you know, prune the pomegranate tree, for example, or when it comes time to tear out the vegetable garden at the end of the growing season, it's just too much for me to handle in my home compost. So that's when it goes in my green waste. And that's when I got to thinking about, I'm hoping they're not just dumping this in the landfill somewhere.
So here's what happens to it. I'll try to click through this kind of briefly because there are a lot of steps along the way.
Like a snapshot of the process.
Yeah, exactly. Snapshot of the process. And then I'll give you my takeaway. So the city trucks pick up these yard waste bins, or the claw picks up the leaves if it's November, December, or January. And then it takes it to a place called the Elder Creek Transfer Station, which is in that industrial zone, like off Power Inn Road, where a lot of that stuff is. This site is run by Republic Services, the company that the city contracts with to process yard waste. And there it's going to be sorted, ground up, and then a different trailer truck takes 80 or 90% of it to a place called Silva Ranch, which is about 2.5 hours south of here, where they apply it directly to the soil after filtering it again.
80 to 90% of it?
Right. So the bulk of it is going for what they call direct land application. You know, the soil down there is not very good. That's supposed to help reduce the need for irrigation. But the very first stop after it leaves the yard waste bin and gets in the city truck is this transfer station, where it just gets dumped out in a big pile. And then this really surprised me. 4 or 5 workers are manually picking through that pile to remove contaminants.
And we're talking about like plastic bottles and...
Really, yes. Anything that is not plant matter, right? Which is what's supposed to go into the green waste yard waste bin.
Because anyone that walks on the streets of Sacramento and sees these piles of leaves sees more than just leaves in those piles.
Oh, yes. They see things like plastic bags with dog poop in them on my street, or random objects. And anything that's really not trees, branches, leaves, grass cuttings, plant matter shouldn't go in there, but it does. And most of that contamination comes down to one main category of things.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
Classic line from The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman. He was not wrong. Plastics was the future, for sure, and maybe to a larger extent than any of us ever thought.
Yes, indeed. I mean, we look around our daily lives, right, and plastic is everywhere. You know, there's a movement underway to reduce our plastic use. It's huge here in California, but it's ubiquitous. And we need it, you know, for things like hospitals. But it has pervaded every part of our life. And guess what? It ends up in our yard waste bins. So we're going to hear from Republic Services Operation Manager Bill Thompson, who took me around. We're going to hear about what kinds of contaminants end up in there.
The plastics are the most problematic because it goes through the grinder and it gets shredded into small pieces and it's difficult to get out. So we do our best to get it out here before we grind it. And then after it's ground, the field where we send it that takes the material, there's additional labor out there cleaning it up again to try to remove the plastics.
Is Bill confident, Julia, that 100% of the plastics are pulled from this mulch?
No, because the manual workers can only pull what they can see, you know, what they can find. And so they're digging through it and taking out, you know, plastic bags that they see. And just, I saw a basketball in there. I mean, all kinds of stuff, but they can't get out smaller things, or if there's like a shredded plastic bag or just something that is not visible. So some element of that is going to the next stage, but regulations require that they keep it to something like 0.05 level of contamination of the yard waste can be non-plant matter.
And this is for the 80 to 90% that goes to that?
That's for all of it.
Okay.
But basically, yes. They, as they're processing it, it has to meet that requirement. But because there are these small fragments of plastics and other things, that means, like, for example, if you were like an organic gardener or an organic plant company, you wouldn't want to use that mix because you don't know what all is in it.
No. What about like a danger factor for these people that are sorting through it when it comes to, say, thrown away hypodermic needles and that sort of thing?
They do wear personal protective equipment, PPE, while they're doing this. So that's supposed to, you know, minimize the risk. But I'm sure, I mean, we see that kind of stuff in our bins all the time, right?
We do, for sure. And where does the rest of it end up in the end?
So after it's ground, it goes to a composting and landfill facility in Manteca, which is also run by Republic Services. And there, other materials are added to it to make it more of like a compost type matter. And then a portion of that goes back to the Elder Creek Transfer Station here in Sacramento. And city residents can come and pick up that material and use it as mulch or use it in their garden if they want for free.
If you're doing turf replacement and have large patches of ground that need to be covered, this
exactly.
would work for that.
They could do that. And then Republic also takes some fraction of that, so let's say under 10% of the material, and they actually bag it up and sell it commercially. So that's part of how they recoup their costs.
And the mulch that is available to residents of Sacramento is free.
Yeah, it's free. You just got to show up with your ID and you have to live in one of the municipalities that they serve, which includes the city, Elk Grove, and a couple other places.
This does not sound like an inexpensive venture to get from the point of picking it up at the bins to this final stretch. How is all of that paid for?
That is a good question. I mean,
it's a great question.
That's what we call. That's a great question. And I mean, I'm curious now. I want to look back at my bill for the city and see how much I pay for that 96-gallon bin each month. And now I know where that money is going to, because there are at least 10 or 11 people involved just along that route to get it from the bin to the ranch and or back into this compost pile.
And if we were all better about keeping contaminants out of the pile of leaves, out of the bins, it might not cost as much?
I mean, I don't know. It would certainly require less labor. I mean, listen to some of the stuff that ends up in there.
Engine block, car seat. I'm not quite sure how they got the engine block in the plastic toter, but it managed to get into the toter and in the truck and came out in the pile. So fortunately, the equipment is designed to have, you know, contaminants like that come into it, and it has breakaway pins and safeties that will prevent further damage when something like that is received. But we do get a lot of concrete or rocks or posts. Somebody thinks like a fence post is recyclable. Well, the post portion of it is, but the concrete piece on the bottom is not. So that should go in the trash.
Wow, so an engine block.
That shocked me too.
Ends up in there. And then I can see the whole part about the concrete,
right.
You know, because somebody has, well, I want to put this in the compost, but it's got this, maybe they can take care of it. And it sounds like they can, but it throws a wrench into their system.
Right. It really does in terms of the equipment. And then that stuff is ending up in the end product as well. So I think, yeah, one huge takeaway is just don't put things that aren't plant matter into that yard waste bin. And Bill Thompson of Republic was very diplomatic about this. I mean, he said this may be a sign that people are running out of room for where to put their garbage. So in that case, there are other options like take it to the landfill or have a friend help you knock off the concrete at the bottom of your fence post. You know, there are other ways to handle these other items, and they don't need to go in with the leaves and branches and, you know, yard clippings.
So it sounds like none of this ends up at the landfill, which is where I actually thought that it did go. But that's a recent change?
A portion of it. It sounds like the breakdown was roughly the same, with 80% of it going to Silva Ranch, a few hours south of here. But there was a small portion of it. I'm estimating 10 or 15% of that matter. Republic was using it to cover the face of the landfill. So at night, I guess you have to cover it with some sort of cover. But California regulations about what you can do with green waste keep changing, right? As the state tries to reduce, you know, its greenhouse gas emissions. And so now it's no longer allowed for that ground up yard waste material to go to the landfill. So Ellen Chapman, who was so worried about that, her hunch was right in that before January 1st, a small fraction was actually being used at the landfill. It wasn't getting dumped there, but it was being used.
And so then what was her reaction when she learned your end of the story?
Well, let's hear what she had to say.
It does satisfy my worry. I mean, I had this, you know, nightmare scenario where the Christmas trees are just chucked right onto the landfill. So this is, I think, as good as it could be, really, because they're using it all for what it says it is, green waste, right? So, yeah, I'm satisfied. Thank you.
There she is, listener Ellen Chapman, her question answered, and you heard Randall White talking with Julia Mitrich. If you have a question about anything in our region, its people, its history, you can submit it at capradio.org/great question. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.